Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.
Cool. Okay. Well, now that I got everything recording again, I don't have a cold open anymore. Screw it, guys. Welcome to the Anime Versal Reviews podcast, the show where we are going to dissect a bunch of anime stuff for you. We've been doing it for almost a year. We're going to keep doing it for as long as we possibly can. Sponsored by Grow Generation, where the pros do go to grow. We are from LRMonline.com and LRM's Genreverse Podcast Network. Make sure you guys are checking out the website for all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Subscribe to our podcast channel. I just mentioned wherever you get your podcasts from, it's free, and there is no alternate content, so you guys get everything right now. And then, of course, we got our wonderful YouTube channel, LRM Online's YouTube channel. A lot of celebrity interviews and all the podcasts, and as well as some really other cool things like trailer reactions and stuff like that. I am Kyle Malone. This is Christine Malone, and across the way is Brian. What's up, bud?
Hey.
What's up, Christine?
Nothing much.
Guys, there's just no way around this movie. It's like it's the entry, especially for Brian and I, my age group that got into anime. This movie is like one of the first ones you saw in an anime section, because fucking title is Akira, so it's an AA, it's right there. Cool bike, a pill on the back of the jacket. What the fuck is this? You start with that question and you end with that question.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, that's what we're here to talk about, and it's just one of those things where it's like you have to, right, Brian? Like we had to cover this at
yeah,
right?
Like you said, this was the anime in terms of you talking to friends about anime. Hey, you always ask, have you seen this? Mm-hmm. You know, and somebody had a VHS copy, or you knew exactly what video store it was at. And, you know, this was the movie. You know, it's funny. There were like two back in the 90s. It was like Pulp Fiction and Akira. You know, it's like those are the two movies you ask everybody, have you seen this movie?
Yeah. And then if you were really in the know, you'd throw in something crazy like the alternative to Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, or alternative to Akira, which in my group of friends there at Fort Benning was Ninja Scroll.
Yeah, Ninja Scroll is always on the list as well. But yeah.
You know, I will go ahead and throw it to Christine, because she didn't get to see it for the first time in the 90s like we did. She doesn't even vividly remember the first time too much. But Christine, just can you kind of vaguely remember what was kind of going through your mind when you first watched this, maybe finished it?
What the fuck did I just watch? You know, even now it's like I've seen it before. I remembered everything. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that happening. I remember this. I don't remember that, but you know, it was like going through, and most of it I do remember. But I'm watching it. I'm like, I still don't know what's going on completely, you know? So it's, some of it went over my head. So
definitely. And I was more than likely responsible for showing it to you.
Yes.
Personally, when I first saw it, and I kind of mentioned this to you, like most people, I'm highly focused on the Akira character or being, if you will, power. I'm focused on all the fantastical elements, completely ignoring some of the themes like police state, agent class warfare, Japan's own post-World War II experience, fear of a standing army inviting challenge and ego, hedonism and tech versus tradition, American parallels in the search for nuclear power, living in this world, responsible use of power and trust, the Cold War analogs, obviously, coming out in 1988.
All of that is in this.
And not we are not ready for the new nuclear age of power. So I lost all of that in the 1990s. Brian, what was your first experience?
I agreed. Everything you mentioned is in this, and it's one of those things that, you know, I this film is sort of like, I'm a prog metal guy. I love bands mm-hmm. like Dream Theater, Symphony X, stuff like that. A lot of times you'll listen to, or even old Rush, you know, you listen to one of those records and it's like, I don't, you know, I like this and that, but I don't completely get it. You have to listen to it multiple times. This film, the more you watch it, the more you catch. I don't know why it wasn't this time, but it was like the last time I watched it that I noticed the your camera wasn't on.
Yeah, it is now. Keep going. We're good. Okay. I have the other webcam. Everyone's going to just make fun of it. It'll be fine.
the Olympics. Like, mm-hmm. I remember the last time I watched it, I caught the Olympics are coming up. And I always knew, okay, the stadium's the big centerpiece, but it wasn't until like 5 or 6 years ago that I realized it was for the Olympics, or even that mm-hmm. the chair had the Olympic symbol on it. You know, but that's the point of something, you know, I saw that maybe 5 or 6 years ago, noticed that, never noticed that in the 90s, but you just catch little things, you know, mm-hmm. every time you watch it.
Yeah.
To kind of, for those of you that might, be new to how we do our reviews on AVR now, we stopped doing the exhaustive reviews and try to do discussions and go over main parts of story and theming, and then talk about characters, and then talk about music and art. But I mean, let's face it, the characters here are all just stand-ins for large groups of people. Mm-hmm. You look at Kaneda, who's the typical teen, the innocent bystander, just trying to live in the world, gets caught up in stuff because he's got, you know, loyalty to friends, loyalty to, you know, a sense of duty. But even throughout all the struggle, you see him playing and laughing. Your bike's still on fire. Mm-hmm. Tatsuo's the abused, the shocked, the ones that have taken the brunt of, you know, past trauma. Mm-hmm. Kay, she's the idealist. You know, she's supposed to be the one that people are looking for, that, like, you know, shining beacon. And of course the colonel and the military, confusing duty and glory, power and responsibility. So is it wrong?
Favorite character, by the way.
Yeah, he's a cool character. But am I off when I say that this in and of itself really isn't a character driven story in that sense? It's very much a theme driven story, and I think that's why so many people are confused by this film, because there's so much. You can literally pick any of those themes that I mentioned. Am I completely wrong in that, Christine?
No, I got that too. And a lot of times it's like you weren't even really focused on the people. You were just like trying to focus in on the situation and make sure that you stay caught up in what's going on, not really the people.
Yeah. So what do you think, Brian? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes complete sense. And also, but Kaneda's, there's parts of it, because I really was paying attention to, he's just a normal guy, mm-hmm. but he does like he's an action star. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking of like 80s action movies, because he's always pulling off the coolest move, and he's always mm-hmm. able to go toe to toe with this supernatural, almost God being. And I don't know,
close the door? Go ahead, bud.
He's the badass. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the label that that's what he is. Yeah. To the story, like, say he has the cool look and he has the bike and he's always good in the fights and all that. But as far as character, yeah, outside of the little flash at the very end, you don't really know anything about anyone. Mm-mm. You know,
not at all. But it I think that's what kind of benefits us to be able to watch this movie older, and it's been years since I have watched this movie in its entirety with me paying attention. I think once in the house I watched it when I was on the computer working or something, but only just to have it on in the background.
Yeah, because this movie is like something that you need to put your focus on.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think now as adults, all of those themes start really jumping out at you, and especially if you're any type of a history buff or a Japanese history culture buff, not even necessarily all history, then several of these themes, including fears of standing army, inviting, you know, challenge, or, you know, someone wanting to, you know, bring back the glory days of the Japanese Empire. Anti-war themes are big in Japan, and the question of military use and the question of nuclear power use is obviously sensitive for them from the past through today, including after the 2011 Tohoku earthquake and tsunami damaging Fukushima. So it's very, very thematic. So I guess we should go ahead and start getting into these. And Brian, a lot of these are kind of still relevant when you talk about age and classism and stuff like that. When you talk about police states and brutality, all of that comes into play. Kind of take us down some of the standout themes that you caught this viewing, and especially the ones that you can kind of see being valid today for our audience.
Well, like you said, a lot of the themes, I mean, in terms of government and military, but it was interesting because I wasn't 100% sure what it was trying to say, especially in the end, because it's like, okay, corrupt government, military sort of takes over, but that's sort of the good thing that happens. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like that, the way the film portrays it, that's what was needed at that moment. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's an interesting, was that the message, or I don't know, because it's one of my favorite scenes, because it's just because you don't expect it when the guy comes to arrest the general and he's like, shoot him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they do, and the dude, like, on the look on his face, like, wait, what? And then the guy shoots him, and then, you know, becomes a thing, and then he basically gives his little speech and, you know, assumes command. But I love that scene, because you don't expect it. That's not how that kind of scene typically will play out.
Yeah.
So I like it. But going back to my point, I wasn't sure. And then you also had sort of the Messiah religious sort of theme towards the end, but then that sort of pays off.
Yeah.
Legitimately, to a degree. So I, as far as what the film was specifically trying to say, like you said, there's more than one thing, and I don't think it was necessarily trying to say this is what I believe or this is the way it should be. Mm-hmm. They were just experimenting with different ideas and just sort of showing you what could happen,
like the devil's advocate type.
Yes, a great
not movie, argument.
Yes,
logical.
Exactly.
Argument. Although great, exactly. Great movie.
Also a great movie.
How did, like if Lucifer has to appear as one of two forms, Pacino or the Constantine version, like from the movie. Constantine version, yeah. I probably, that is a creepy, fucked up, great portrayal.
Great version.
But Pacino, man, that swagger and that intensity.
Yeah, but he doesn't have, like, as soon as, like, with Constantine, the devil walks in, like, he has that presence.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, you know, he...
Oh, it's yeah. very, very different. Yeah. Well, what do you think, Brian?
They're both, and it's great because those are two amazing examples. I don't know which one, you know. They approach it from different.
Oh, yeah.
They play it different, mm-hmm. but they both work.
Oh.
Like, one's like the Garden of Eden, and the other one is kind of like the big bad kind of feeling.
Yeah, I like that. But, Christine, what were some of the themes that stood out to you this time around, having a lot more attention and personal experience under your own belt?
What I noticed is, like, while you were watching, like, the political figures arguing, it's like, oh my God, it's America, you know.
Which makes sense with the Cold War stuff.
Exactly.
You gotta
think
Japan is between Russia and the U.S. and it's like, if they shoot at you and you shoot at them, we're fucked. Mm-hmm. So
it's like, it's present today. And one thing that I notice is, you know, you have people who are resisting. It's like squeezing a bar of soap. If you squeeze it too hard, it's going to slip out and it's going to fall. And that's what's happening. It's like the death of this government, you know, and the more control, the more you try to grab at it, the more people are going to resist and try to fight it. And you've got this city that is just, it's a mess. You know, there's a lot of crime. There's a lot of pushback from the government, the military, all of that. They don't want to be controlled like that. So, you know, you're seeing this. That's like one that, you know, stuck out to me the most. It's like, you know, we're having riots here and people are fighting a lot. And it just feels like it's getting more and more intense. And so it's like, you know, hoping that, you know, it's kind of like that. You're looking into a future because a future that you don't want.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's going to be the life and death of a regime. You know, eventually everything does fall apart and you're just like, oh, I hope that's not us anytime soon. Maybe in a couple hundred years. I don't know. But yeah.
Wishful thinking.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mentioned one of them, and I think this kind of goes to one of the points Brian made out where he's like, I'm not sure what they're trying to say, is just the idea that I wrote down responsible use of power and trust, like the people's trust in government versus people's trust in military. And the three of us have a very, very unique outlook, having for Brian and I, especially being just old enough to remember the Cold War. All three of us were in Germany for part of the Cold War, weren't we, Brian? Weren't you
yes.
there? Yeah. So, yeah. So, and the American point of view on trust and military is very different to other countries.
Yeah.
Hell, there's countries I don't know if Japan's one of them, but I know a lot of people in Europe have expressed more faith and trust in the American military than their own. And mm-hmm. not just in the ability, but the government's willingness to actually use it.
Mm.
In terms of, you know, the defense and necessity. So I saw that a lot, and again the Cold War parallels with what Christine was mentioning. You know, he even clearly the military Shikishima, right? Shikishima. There we go.
Just call him the colonel.
He goes, you know, you capitalist pigs and greedy people like that, you know, doing things. Is it an absolute slight, or is it showing the dangers of, you know, the fact that communists and socialists are the primary users of military force on their own people? So sorry, guys, but China and Cuba and Vietnam and Korea and Russia and everyone Russia, stepped on. it's not, again, but Brian, like you said, it's just, it's talent. I think it's really just getting to I think it comes down to those two things. We're not ready for the power because we're not responsible with it.
Mm. Yeah. Cause the scientist, he is willing to push things, even though he knows it will probably lead to really bad things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not out of a greed for power or money necessarily. It's more out of curiosity mm-hmm. and excitement for this advancement. And so even yeah. that's an interesting little sub story that's in there.
I didn't even think about that.
It's like where your thirst for knowledge can, mm-hmm. Step over a boundary that it shouldn't. So
there's a lot of weapons that we have right now that were discovered by accident, or we were trying to do something peaceful. You think TNT, mm-hmm. and look what that wrought. Look at gunpowder in and of itself, plenty of engineering uses and great amazing peaceful things have come out of that, but. The terrors as well, but yeah, is very very interesting right there with the science aspect. Man, it's a really cool that you can talk about this movie and dissect it like that, and here we are not even really touching the fantastical elements of it, and we kind of have to touch on those. It's, yeah. it's part of the story for those that might be watching this and want to know the general layout. At the end of World War III, an event happens, wipes out Tokyo. Several decades later, it's been rebuilt. There's corruption. There's gangs and post-apocalyptic Mad Max type stuff, more like Thunderdome type stuff. But that's going on. And then there's this fantastical element connected to the event at World War III, dealing with this being known as Akira. That created the event, which looked like a nuclear explosion. Kids get caught up in the mix, and that's basically the story at the end of it. Another minor Akira event happens, and they leave you with the impression that the kids that were experimented on and connected to Akira, including Tetsuo, who's one of our leads, go off to basically be the atom, the power, the whatever that we're not ready for, and they goes start a new world to see if that one will develop right to be ready with. Christine, is that kind of the story?
Yeah, I think you definitely broke it down.
Okay, but Brian, yeah. Did I miss anything or?
No, I was actually very excited to see how you were gonna lay out the story, but that mm-hmm. summarizes it pretty good.
And with the fantastical elements, it's definitely there. This movie is enjoyed by adults, but that's stuff's there for the teenagers. Brian, what do you take on that aspect of this movie now, being able to see and absorb so much more?
The more you're talking about, like
the fantastical kids and the fantastical mutation experience. I mean, that
the two things that in the 90s, watching this that I loved was obviously the bike stuff, like mm-hmm. cool biker gang action, and then the third act, because it's insane and it's so gross and violent, but in such a really cool, creative way, and the idea of, I like stuff like this where, it's okay, we've become this special thing, like you said, going to another universe, and it's all dreamlike at the end. I like things like that, and mm-hmm. This particular viewing, I don't think any of that really changed for me, but it's such a weird movie, and it is a difficult movie to digest to a degree. Like, that's why I said up front, you sort of have to watch this movie multiple times.
Oh, for sure.
To really hone in on what's going on. I've always wondered if there was ever a thought of I've never read the manga, and I it looks pretty lengthy. Have they ever wanted to make a series? I've never heard any talk or rumors about that. Obviously, there's constant talk about we hear that all the time.
Yeah.
And I
wasn't Taika Waititi supposed to be doing it?
Was that the last? I don't know.
I think he was the last one attached.
I just don't know if it could be done, but
yeah.
Because with anime, you can put a lot into anime as long as you thread it through the overarching visual story the right way. All these, you're right, Brian. How do you fit even half of these discussions in a live action movie? Because your cast are all going to demand certain amounts of screen time and line time based on how big they are or how big they think they are. Each member's going to have their own take on the things. This isn't as, and I know that modern anime is different than in the past, but usually in animation, especially in the past, the writing teams or the writer in this point doesn't necessarily have as many good idea fairies around them because they're mostly working with artists, right? Mm-hmm. And then the voice actors are voice actors are not necessarily concerned about their faces and screen time. All these things start coming into play with it. So yeah, I don't think you would have to make it all on the fantastical stuff. This would all have to be about the power of Akira and then the our inability to harness it responsibly. They couldn't touch any of the broader themes.
Well, it's funny because there's several animes that every so often someone's like, oh, they want to do a live action. And many conversations I've had with various people, they're like, yeah, that's cool. This is the one movie that I don't think I've known anyone who's ever been like, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
True.
They're always like, don't do that.
Yeah, even if you try to do as much of what the movie has done, it's going to be different. You're going to change the message because there's so many different layers, and I think what we have with it is good enough. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to change it. It needs to just stay this 1988 movie.
I think that's on point, Christine. I think it's just one of the facts of life that this is a it's not necessarily a dated product, but the themes are really hard to translate into today with so much distance from World War II. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
For Brian?
Yeah, yeah.
There's distance for a lot of things.
Yeah, like all of the... many of these themes are still great and things that you could touch on, but... there's so much relies on that connection to World War II that they would instead have to make the search for the power of Akira be the boogeyman, the problem, not
they would try and update the story, and it would muddy a lot of what made the story interesting. And there's just so much that could go wrong. I mean, obviously we have the technology, a lot of the visuals, of course they'll be able to achieve that, but that'd be it.
The thing is, it's like with what's going on now, is very different than what happened in the past. Like how we view things, how things have gone into play. So changing that would be kind of weird. It would be a completely different message, you know, because it's not the same. Because I'm sure, like, what they would do is, like, I guess, like, the war with Iraq and Afghanistan, try to maybe do something like that, and it's just, like,
I don't even know if they would try to set it in a realistic setting. I think it would all focus on Akira and science. It would be like the search for, it'd all be analog, and because it would be so heavily anchored on the fantastical, I think the important stuff would be lost.
Because the rumors were they wanted it set in the U.S., right? And the story. Maybe. Now, that's a horrible idea. That's where I'm like, no, don't do that.
Awful idea. And not because, America would never fall apart. It just guts the story.
This story is very much rooted in its location. It's
very cultural.
Yeah, very.
We're going to go ahead and take a word from our sponsors over at Grow Generation, and I think Brian will probably reset his camera because it probably shut off. But anyways, take it away, ad people. I don't know who's talking. Somewhere.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service, and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
And thank you guys so much for sponsoring the episode. I really don't know if your camera shut off or not. I know you had that issue before. I guess to move on from the themes, because we continue to break them down again and again and again all day long, we should kind of start talking about the characters a bit. Even though, like I mentioned, they feel often like a blank slate on purpose. It's not like a bad thing at all, but you know, as a kid, you can connect with both Kaneda and Tetsuo, especially if you're an anime fan, because you'll feel like an outsider. And then as the adult viewing, you look at them and you're like, ah, oh, you're so stupid. And that military guy right there, dude, you got bullied and just happened to have the muscle mass to get a set during basic. Brian, you know, Tetsuo, he gets superpowers, puts on the red Superman cape. That was badass as a kid, but man, it was fucking gross at the end, wasn't it? Tell us some about your character likes and dislikes.
There's a character. She's the girl that likes Tetsuo.
Kaori.
Kaori.
And I remember, and this is probably my only real complaint with the film, because I this always bothered me even years and years ago. What's the point of the character? Like, she gets assaulted in one scene, and it's like, okay, that makes sense for that scene. I get where they were going there.
The depravity of the gangs and
exactly,
you know, situation.
And then they get retaliation, you know, you know, and he almost kills a guy in retaliation. But then you get to the ending, and there's some few moments with them, and then he's horrified that he can't control it, but she's killed. Mm-hmm. She's one of the. It was just always like, what, this character just gets brutalized through the whole film. She's only in a couple scenes.
Written for her, and, because I don't think she serves a purpose, like Brian's saying.
And except just to be hurt and then murdered at the end. And there isn't maybe if they had put a line at the very end where, you know, they remembered her, like, oh, you know, it sucks that we lost her. Or maybe he resurrects, I don't know, you know, a new universe, she can do something. Yeah. I don't know. But that character bothered me for so many years. I was like, what's the point? You just sort of feel bad, you know?
Yeah, not only that, it's kind of like this, she should have already been out, you know, like, all right, you know, screw this, I'm gone, this guy's a jerk. But she just keeps clinging on, and that's like, you know, as a woman, my view on it, of seeing, like, you know, people doing this where they're like, oh no, it's okay, and I'm just like, he's not that into you. He's not. You're just kind of there. And it was clear on that. Like, even like in the end, it was just kind of odd where he's like, you know, she's Tetsuo is saying, you know, like, she's dying, and it's like, you've shown me that you don't really give a shit. So, you know, I don't know. It was just kind of like, and I guess it was the right tone for that as well, because it wasn't like he was super devastated, but it was still kind of like, you know, you're crying out to her, help me. I'm like, I would have been like, no, I'm gonna give you the bird and I'm gonna walk away. So it's just kind of like one of those, like, I don't know what they were trying to do with her, but yeah, like after a few scenes, she should have just been like, I deserve better, and then just like never seen again. So yeah.
Yeah, for me, like I said, as a young kid, you dig the kids in the movie, especially when they're, you know, doing battle with laser guns and superpowers, and but they are all really good blank slates to attach multiple people to, whether it's yourself at different stages of life or different stages through a day, or if it's attaching bigger entities such as a government or a nation. But the in the end of it all the it's almost disappointing that they couldn't have figured out a way and I don't know why I said and couldn't figure out a way to give just a little bit more substance, maybe by either adding to the Kaori character and actually showing some remorse from Tetsuo when he's mean to her. Something even that might have been enough to make the characters just a little bit more deep, because it's not until you start plugging something from outside into them that I really start getting depth. What do you think, Christine?
With who?
Just in general. Like most of the characters, they don't have a lot of depth to them until you start attaching outside things.
Yeah, I mean there was a time with the main character, this guy Kay.
Mm-hmm.
And
the one that
with her
Kaneda is
into. Yeah, Kaneda tries to pursue her, you know, it's kind of cheesy, she's not into it, but you can tell, like, you could see them bond, you know, so I mean there is some development in relationships, so but that's the only one I can think of. Everyone else is just kind of like you just standing in to tell the story. Yeah. I only get a few crumbs of what you're like. So,
Brian, your take on the blank slate. Did you feel that was actually a weak point or a non-issue this time around?
I mean, I see what you're saying, because yeah, like I was going, my whole action, you know, mm-hmm. Kaneda is like just sort of, he's an action star. He's cool. He's the cool guy, and like that's his character. Which is fine, but yeah, in terms of the different character relationships and stuff, it's very vague. I mean, the military stuff and the science, like that, those are the characters that are the most like invested in purpose driven characters, you know, and, and which is, like I said, I love those scenes. Yeah. Now the little kids, I every time I watch the film, like I like them more and more, mm-hmm. you know, I like the dialogue. I like what they're trying to help, you know, in the way mm-hmm. that they know how. I love the fact that they're, you know, trying to be big and mean, and
yeah,
but they end up, but they're scared also, you know, and it, yeah.
The thing with them is, you know, it's like the more they try to get in to help, it's really more like they're interfering, because they are kids. They don't really know what they're doing. So it's like, why are you attacking Tetsuo? Like, you know, you got one who's like a car, a bear, and a rabbit, yeah. and you're just like, this is not how you approach someone who's struggling with the powers that they've gotten that they shouldn't have. You're on the attack, and it should have been like where they just showed up and been like, okay, we're just gonna talk instead. So it's like they're making it worse. And the girl, what was her name? Kyoko. Mm-hmm. You know, she said like she was partly to blame. Like, we are partly to blame. I'm like, you've got a huge role mm-hmm. than just a part of all of this going on. So, you know, that's what I saw, where it's like, you know, you can't really expect much from kids
and
small kids.
And that may have been like up here where I talk about age and class warfare. We have a that issue today where the old people, youngins don't this that and the other, and the young people, fuck you old timer, you don't this that and the other, and that's been going on since the beginning of time, because the fact is there's nothing new under the sun, and anything and everything you've thought, someone else thought long before you.
I have something to add with that.
Sure.
The problem with, you know, the whole generational thing, and it just keeps going and going, is yes, you've got people who are older, they've gained experience in life, they've seen things, they do have some wisdom, but it comes to a point where sometimes those people can become out of touch, where the youth, they have that where it's like they can understand a lot of things, but, you know, they haven't quite mm-hmm. gained, you know, some lessons learned with age. Mm-hmm. So you've got two sides that are like, you know, talking down to each other, and it's just like, I need to come together. Mm-hmm. And the same with like the politicians and all of that, where it's like, y'all got to stop fighting because you're just going to make things worse.
That's why it's so dangerous, as the age grouping graphs have gone from, you know, generally pyramid shape with a slight bulge in the middle, to we're starting to get an inverted triangle, guys, on our age graph, where the young are very, very, very small in number, and the older are larger in number. And that's dangerous, because without the young to work, all of our knowledge dies off and does no good, because we don't have the bodies to do anything with it. Mm-hmm. Anyone else wanted to talk on any other themes or characters before we touch on the music and art?
I do.
Sure.
It was between the two guys, Tetsuo and Kaneda. Mm-hmm. Their relationship was kind of weird, like how they try to build that. I think it fell flat, you know, where they're going back in time and showing them as children. So it's kind of like, why did Tetsuo act the way he did once he gained power? It's just kind of like all of a sudden he just felt like a victim of his childhood. And then it's like what we see from their memories is like, no. So for them, it was just kind of really weird just seeing their relationship. What do y'all think?
Brian?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's throughout the whole film, you're sort of confused as to where the anger is coming from. And then you get to the end and you get a little, like you said, the one sort of flashback. And even there, you're like, well, I still don't know where the anger completely comes from. Because there's a rivalry between the two, but you're right. It could have done a much better job building that. And it really, it sort of doesn't.
It's maybe like a frenemy, but, you know, Kaneda doesn't know it, I guess. And Tetsuo is like maybe keeping it down. But yeah, they didn't really show that.
Yeah,
kind of confusing.
And that's one of those things where I was like, yeah, this time I actually think this movie isn't nearly as good as I thought in that realm. Mm. And that actually hurts it overall, even though the discussions that come from the movie only get better with time.
Yeah.
Yes. So to go into the music and the art of this, one of the things that I really noticed, Brian, is while it's dated by its style and quality of filming, capture of the animation cells, not quality of the animation itself, the amount of the detail, like, dude, I can't even remember what it was like, but I remember watching it today on my TV downstairs, which is bigger than the one I had in here. The use of motion and light, especially the trails of the taillights in the beginning and with the bikes, no wonder this just blew Americans away in the 90s, right?
There's animation. I mean, the detail, like you're mentioning, animated today doesn't do this, you know, and that's why this film, a big reason it sticks out. And I'll say this, this is a film that if you watch it, you get, I guess I would, you get absorbed into it.
Yeah.
You get lost in it. It's something you're going to be thinking about later. Mm-hmm.
Signs you see.
There's just so much. And
background stuff.
The shooting scenes.
Oh, yeah.
My God. Like the way they're animated. When the guy shoots the dog.
Oh, dude.
The dog.
Brutal.
The animation of the dog, the bullet hitting it, it slamming and falling, and the way the body moves, just all that stuff. There's not a whole lot of anime even today that takes the time to animate it in that level of detail. Mm-hmm. It's wild.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at your name, which is beautifully animated, wonderfully detailed, and when you look at it, you're like, oh, this gorgeous outdoor scene, or this really pretty architectural thing in Tokyo scene. This, it's all about the movement and the lighting and the background. It's about the details, not the scene.
Yeah, I can tell that. Like, and then also with it, you know, being dated, the only issue I had with the animation was the faces. You know,
yeah, and that's a stylistic, yeah,
exactly, and that was
thing, yeah,
just something that was done. But yeah, that was the only complaint I had. And I've seen older animes where it's like, you know, they had those kinds of issues too. So it's like, it's just the times.
Yeah.
So, and it's not as important. I mean, who cares? It's not really about the people in this anime. So it's like,
yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Is that what you kind of get from it as well, Brian? Like, yeah, sure, we could do this really gorgeous Neo-Tokyo scene, but we'd rather show you this awesome graffiti, these interesting pieces of trash, and that really weird human. You really weren't sure if it was human or not, and like things like that, the details.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, in the imagery in this, it's the film's iconic because everybody's taken imagery from it. And, you know, you'll find a lot of films and even anime that has taken almost screen grabs from this movie. And it's like, we're going to do that, or we're going to have something sort of look like that.
Mm-hmm.
It sticks with you. Like I said, it's something that you legitimately stick to. I would love to see this on the big screen.
Yeah.
You know, that would be really neat, but
would be cool.
Like what I said earlier, that third act, find anything that's like that in terms of visuals,
the
like,
body horror, the crushing, the ooze, the mess. Yeah, that is brutal. Brian, you and I are both massive horror and gore fans, so this had to just be tantalizing as all fuck for you first time around and ever since, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, body horror. It's this is everything that this is like Clive Barker dreams that he could have done this. Nothing. I can't think of anything like this that's been done in live action that I can.
Not with a transformation.
Not in that level.
There's definitely been some grotesque behemoths and things like, but not the transformation. Yeah. That's just the baby face and awesome. Music is one of those things to where I'm like, it's just not for me. It fits it 100%. I have no issues for it. I just can't exclaim that it's a brilliant piece or that it's a bad set of music at all. There's a few kind of annoying parts with the vocals that can kick in and you're just like, again. But
yeah.
Christine, what'd you think about the music?
I didn't even pay attention to it. I was just like so into the story that you were like, let's talk about the music. Don't remember it at all. Like, I was just like just focused in, and I remember the voice acting, of course. It was, I guess, it's decent. I mean, it's older and all that, but like, yeah, the music, I just didn't pay attention to it at all.
Or Brian, any comments? Agree, disagree?
This could be nostalgia, but I really like the soundtrack. I don't know, there's something about it that really works with this movie, but it's also sort of a 80s anime film soundtrack in some ways. Some of the choices they make, like, I know what you mean as far as the repetitive sort of annoying things, but I don't know, I really like them. The bike scene,
oh yeah,
I love that, you know, that particular piece.
They all fit it perfectly well. Yeah.
Well, are you going to talk about sound design?
We absolutely
because can. There's some brilliant stuff. Not only with the body horror, the sounds, the guns, mm-hmm. the explosions, but even when he goes into space and it gets silent.
The silence. And
the way sound design is handled in this film. When they're in the sewer, mm-hmm. all the sound of the little.
Splashes the echoes.
If you really pay attention to every little thing, like there was a lot of detail in every sound that was achieved.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's something you'll find. I'll talk about on movies that I notice when it's really good, and movies when I notice it's really bad. Wonder Woman 84. And it's so important because audio is so engrossing. We are so hypersensitive to audio to survive, but both before civilization when we were hunting and gathering and ever since and now we rely on our ears to survive on the road and out of cars and things like that. So yeah, sound design can make or break a scene, mm-hmm. Like Wonder Woman 84 ending. And when it makes it, it can really add to horror, to suspense, to joy, even to excitement and action. So yeah, I really do. Like that. Anyone else got last words for Akira? Christine?
No, I think I said everything.
Very cool. But Brian?
No. Yeah, I think I said everything.
Cool, guys. It's been great. I hope everyone enjoyed the review and discussion. Let us know what you think in the comments below. Thumbs up and down. Review.
I do have one thing question.
Bolo.
I'm sorry. It just popped in my head. Like what's in up? The comments, people who are from different places. I'd love to read your take on it as well, like your perspective of, you know, how you were raised, and because, you know, every country is different, mm-hmm. and so I'd like to know what you think.
If you weren't necessarily Japanese, Russian, or American, says several of these things aren't going to really speak to you. So mm-hmm. yeah, what did you get out of it? So yeah, leave that in the comments. Please subscribe and follow on YouTube and whatever podcast app that you're using. LRMonline.com, genreverse.com, both go to the same place for now, but our Genreverse podcast landing pages are coming in the future, so go ahead and start using that page. There's social media information down below for all of us, including Brian's YouTube channel name. But Brian, tell us about your YouTube channel.
Yeah, Pulp Mythos, reviewing shows like American Horror Story and Big Sky.
There you go. Christine, anything else you wanted to say?
Nope. I guess that's it.
Cool. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You, too, could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.